This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our online community. We would love for you to join us at 8:30 or 10 a.m. on Sunday morning at the City Forum. In the meantime, if you would like to share a prayer request, make a financial contribution, or take a step at Real Life, you can text MISSION to 97,000. Now enjoy the podcast.
Love you, church. It's good to be in this short sermon series called Delighting in God, which is half of our mission here at Real Life, delighting in God and discipling others. And so as you ask the question, what is discipling others? Well, it's just helping other people delight in God. And we kicked off this sermon series, this short sermon series, with Psalm 16:11, which says, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That was week one. Week two last week was because we live in Tennessee and we can't drive in the snow very well, or at least we don't think we can. So we were online last week, and last week we were looking at Psalm 34, a particular verse in that chapter that says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And so we've been laying this foundation in hopes that we as a church, that this would happen in our lives individually, that we as a church would begin to, if we haven't already started, daily, deeply delighting in God. And so I started the sermon series by saying that I think this sermon series could be paradigm shifting for some people, because some people grew up with an understanding of who God is, or grew up in a Christian tradition where everything was about duty. It was what you ought to do. And it was kind of riddled with guilt and that kind of thing. And when we read through the scripture, when we get an honest understanding of who God is and what he's inviting us into, what we understand are these scriptural truths, that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. In other words, what we learn is that God is the most delightful thing in the universe. God is the most delightful person in the universe, that there's no one that can compare to God. There's no one that can fulfill us like God. There's no one that can make our soul happy like God. There's no one that can give us joy like God. There's no one that can satisfy us like God. There's no one that can give us pleasure like God. That's what this whole sermon series is about. Indeed, that's what our whole mission is about, delighting in God. So my dream for you, church, my dream is that somehow the Spirit of God would open your eyes and allow you to see the glory and the majesty of God in how he delights the souls of men and women. So I don't care how long you've been walking with Jesus, whether you're brand new to the faith or whether you've been a Christian for 40 years, my prayer and expectation is that the Spirit of God is going to show you something fresh. He's going to show you something new, and he's going to invite you into an experience that begins to transform you from the inside out. That's what Psalm 34 is all about. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's an invitation to experience something that you conclude is good. Now here's where this is really important to state this, is that what we see is in the book of Psalms, the majority of the book of Psalms is lament. So what does that mean? This is what it means for you and me. Listen, it means that the normal Christian life, the normal Christian life, not the weird Christian life, the normal Christian life, not the outlier Christian, the normal Christian life is a life of mourning, is a life of sorrow, is a life of sadness, is a life of longing. Indeed, that's why we put our hope in Jesus, because he's the one that's promised to come and to wipe every tear away from our eyes. That's the glory of Jesus. He's going to come and obliterate all sadness. But the promise of the scripture is this, is that mingled in the sorrow, mingled in the sadness, mingled in the longing, we can experience great joy, satisfaction, fulfillment, pleasure, delight in God. In God, in knowing him, in enjoying his presence. So this morning we're in Psalm 37, in the one verse that I want to camp out on just a little, Psalm 37, the one verse that I want us to camp out on this morning is Psalm 37, verse 4. And maybe you've heard this verse before, maybe it's brand new for you, but this verse goes like this: delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37, verse 4. And we're going to read the whole chapter, or most of the chapter, in a moment to get the context and really unpack this passage together. But here's the focus verse, is Psalm 37, verse 4, and here's how it goes. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So Psalm 16, 11, you've made known to me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasure forevermore. That's kind of like a declaration about what's true about God. It's a declaration that in your presence is fullness of joy. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good is an invitation. It's an invitation to experience God. Delight yourself in the Lord is a commandment. So here we go. It's delight and duty here. And you thought, I thought this whole sermon series is about not about duty, about delight. Well, it's like, listen, the whole thing is, it's so encompassing that here the Lord actually commands us to be delighted. But here's what I don't want you to miss. You can't miss this, friends. You can't miss this. Is the heart of God for you. Listen to it. Delight yourself. Delight yourself. Now, some of you grew up reading the Bible and knowing the scriptures, and you're like, that doesn't seem to square with like self-denial. Jesus said, if I'm going to follow him, I have to deny my what? Self, right? But Jesus goes on to say in that same text, when you deny yourself, when you lose your life for my sake, Jesus says, you find it. So it's in a denying of yourself that you find joy. It's in a denying of yourself that you find life. It's in a losing your life for the sake of Christ that you find life. You find what you're longing for. You find fulfillment and satisfaction in self-denial. It's a little bit of a paradox. It's a little bit of a mystery how it works. But it's true, and we see it all through the scripture. It's in God's presence is fullness of joy. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Delight yourself. So don't miss this, because some of you have lived your whole life believing a lie from the devil that if you get your life on board with the purposes of God, if you begin to walk in obedience to God, if you align your days, your months, and your years with God's heart, all joy is out the door for you. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's actually the direct opposite. It's actually a completely direct opposite. That if you align your life with the purposes of God, namely, begin to walk in an intimate relationship with God, where you enjoy his presence, where you read the Bible and you pray because you're in a relationship with him, where you spend quality time in his presence, when we're calling it daily, deeply delighting in God. That if you do that, the fruit of that in our life is joy. So let me just say this. It's clear, but it's not easy. It's clear, but it's not easy. Listen, this kind of joy and fulfillment and satisfaction and pleasure, in whatever word you want to use and whatever word you don't want to use to describe what the Bible is teaching here, it is available to you and to me. But it's not always easy to take hold of it. So as we think about, I just want to kind of unpack this idea, and then we're going to look at this text. Delight yourself. Don't miss the heart of God, that God wants you to be delighted. Write that down. Somebody, like, get that tattooed on your ankle. God wants me to be delighted. Do you know why it's so important that we don't miss that? It's because the devil wants to lie to you and say, God is a killjoy. No, he's not. No, he's not. And I want to spend the rest of my life convincing you the absolute opposite is true. That God is for you, he made you, and he is the fountain of living waters that can satisfy your soul. And that indeed in his presence is where you find purpose and meaning and joy and fulfillment and satisfaction. So don't miss the heart of God. God wants you to be delighted. God wants you to be fulfilled. God wants you to be satisfied. God wants you to experience pleasure. But God is infinitely wise, and he knows where you can find it. That's why the verse says, delight yourself, where? In the Lord. In the Lord. Not in the Lord's people. Not in the marriage that the Lord gave you. Not in the great sports that you enjoy that the Lord allows you to play. But in the Lord, in His presence. So let's just make a couple of things clear, that it's Jesus and the Holy Spirit that makes this possible. Jesus is the one that died for our sins, and He removed that barrier that stood between us and God. And so when we trust in Jesus, we enter into a relationship with God where there's nothing that blocks it. Jesus took away our sin. Hallelujah! He did this through His death and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit, when Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father at Pentecost, He sent the Holy Spirit to begin to live and dwell inside people who would trust in Jesus. This is a miracle. This is glorious. It's a little weird. We acknowledge, Christians acknowledge, this is a little weird that God's Spirit lives in us. We get that that might be, if that's new to you, we understand that that might sound a little weird, but it's wonderful. Because what it means is that on our saddest day, we're never alone because God is with us. It means on our most confused day, we're not resigned to walk in blindness and confusion. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in us. And the Scripture says He'll lead us into all truth. So He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He's going to lead us. But what it means is that we get to, anytime and always, be in the presence of God. Enjoy the presence of God. Because He's closer to us than our very skin by His Holy Spirit. So now here's my goal of this sermon series. And you can take it or leave it, but whether you take it or leave it will determine whether or not you experience pleasure in this life, fulfilled pleasure, overflowing pleasure. My goal for this sermon series is that each of us will begin to daily, deeply delight in God. So what does that mean? That means you stop everything else you're doing. You give your full attention to God. You open up the sacred scriptures. You read it and you hear God speaking to you. And you pray and you speak to God. In its simplest core, that's what we're after. That's what we're after. Listen, friends, listen. If you do that simple discipline, and you persevere in it, and you fight to do it when you don't feel like it, and you develop a little grit and a little discipline to do that, everything, I promise, everything will change for you. If it becomes your lifestyle and not a New Year's resolution, right? If it becomes who you are, you become a person who walks with God, then joy will be mingled with the sorrow. Pleasure will be mingled with the pain. Fulfillment will begin to rise up and bubble up out of your heart and soul. It's not easy, and it's a fight, but the fight is worth it because the fruit is joy. The fruit is joy. So when we begin to spend time in God's presence, you may be asking, okay, look, I've heard that I should read my Bible and pray. Like, I get that. But is it really worth it? Like, when you begin to spend time in God's presence, you begin to learn that He is good, that He is holy, that He is loving, and that He is omnipresent, that God is powerful, that God is gracious, that God is merciful, that God is wise, that He is righteous and eternal. When you spend time in God's presence, you realize He is providential. He is the self-existing God, the self-sustaining God, that He is beautiful and that He is glorious. You get to know Him and you learn that He is kind and that He is majestic and that He's the creator and that He's the redeemer, that indeed He's the King of kings. And you don't just learn these attributes about God, but you begin to get to know Him personally and you realize He is the banner. He's the Lord Almighty. He's the God who sees you. He is the jealous God. He's the most high God, the protector, the Lord of hosts, my comforter. So why should I stop everything I'm doing on Monday morning? It's because there is an inexhaustible, eternal God that the Bible describes as the bread of life and the fountain of living waters. And we all long for the same thing. In that deepest part of who we are, we long for fulfillment. We long to be satisfied. And there's only one source where we can find satisfaction, and it's God Himself. And as we get to know Him, our mind is absolutely blown. We learn that He is the everlasting God, that He's the protector, the healer, and He becomes my shepherd. He's the Lord of hosts. He is my peace. He is my righteousness. He's my comforter. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the I Am, the fountain of living waters, the high priest, the advocate, the door, the rose of Sharon, the Lamb of God, the judge, the rock, the Alpha and the Omega, the light of the world, the mediator, the word, the chief cornerstone. Is this worth a little interruption in your day? Is this worth a little shifting in your schedule? Is this worth a little bit less sleep? He's Emmanuel, the author and finisher of our faith. He's our Savior. He's the bridegroom. He's a wonderful counselor. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He's the dayspring, the first and the last, the prophet, the bright and morning star, the way, the truth, and the life. And this is why it's so hard. It's because that's not where our brain lives, right? Like, you don't have that on your playlist, that reminder of who He is. And that's why when we get tastes of Him, we're reminded, oh, He is the glorious God that satisfies my soul. And that's why we pray prayers like, God, give me a hunger for You. God, give me a thirst for You. God, give me a passion for You like You have for me. Because I want to know You, and I want to glorify You by being satisfied in Your presence. The great pastor and author John Piper said it this way: God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And we'll unpack that in the next couple of weeks, but I'll say it again if you're really quick on the phone or with a pen. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Well, this little verse has a power-packed promise, doesn't it? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll do what? He'll give you the desires of your heart. I'll never forget, like, in seventh grade trying to understand this verse and just trying to figure out, does this mean if I read my Bible, I'm going to get a Ferrari? Is this the formula to get a Ferrari? No, it's not. No, it's not. In other words, this commandment is not delight in Him and you'll get that Ferrari you've always dreamed of. It's not a formula to satisfy your greed and materialism and lust for power and money. This verse is not instruction on how we can manipulate God to get the vacation, girlfriend, job, scholarship, or starting position on the team that we want so badly. So don't misunderstand this. Don't misunderstand that if you just spend time with God, that whatever you want, you're going to get. That's not what this is teaching. So what is this teaching? Well, what happens, listen, what happens is that when you spend time with God, when you slow down and you fix your focus upon Him, and by faith you enjoy Him, when you delight yourself in God, He changes the desire of your heart. Because when you see Him, you understand there's nothing better than Him. When you experience Him, you understand there's nothing that can compare to Him. And when you really taste and see that He's good, you want Him more than you want anything, and He freely gives us Himself. So when you delight yourself in the Lord, in that daily process, He progressively changes your desire. And as He changes your desire, He gives you a hunger for Him, a longing to know Him, and then He gives Himself to us. He gives us the desire of our hearts, Himself. He doesn't hold Himself back. He doesn't put Himself hidden at the end of a maze. The living, eternal, infinite God became a man. He wanted to be that close to us. He sent His Spirit. Jesus said, it'll be better. It'll be better if I go away. Why would it be better? Why would it be better than having the living God in flesh walking around with us? What would be better than that? The Spirit of God living in every single one of us, never leaving. That would be better. So He gives us the desire of our hearts, and He gives us Himself to live in us, never to leave us, always there. So we get to taste and see how good He is. And then that begins to give us a hunger to know Him more and more and more and more. And so in this whole psalm, it's good practice to never read just one verse, because every single verse is found in a context of a broader chapter, a broader thought, a broader letter, a broader something. And so this single verse that we're unpacking this morning is found in the context of this whole chapter. And in this chapter, we find four hurdles to overcome when delighting in God. Because here's something that's beautiful that's happened. For some of you, the Spirit of God has turned the volume down on your apathy just a little bit, and He's warmed your heart. He stirred just a little something fresh in you. For some of you, your heart is absolutely on fire, and you want to read whole books of the Bible in one sitting, and you want to crank the worship music in your car and be late to work because you're worshiping the Lord, right? Some of you, like, your hunger for him is so full-blown right now, but others of you, it's just like you just feel the coldness melting just a little bit. Just a little bit. It's like this week when the ice was frozen on your windshield, your car had to sit there, and the heat had to heat up a little bit, and slowly the ice would melt. And for some of you this morning, the ice of your heart is melting in the presence of God. And he's beginning to stoke a hunger for himself in your heart. And so in this text, we see four hurdles. If we're going to delight in God, we got to overcome. And as we're delighting in God, we're going to overcome. Because some of you are going to carve out some space tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon. For the first time in many weeks and in many months, you're going to carve out some space. And you're going to kind of test what the preacher is saying today. You're going to get in the presence of God. And so there's some hurdles we've got to overcome when we're delighting in God. And the first one is just simply delighting too deeply in other things. And we see this in verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. And so have you ever been out to eat, like, at a great restaurant? And it's like, you know, it's like your favorite restaurant. So maybe you splurge and you get two appetizers. And then you get, like, you don't hold back, but you get, like, whatever you want. You get a, you know, and then they come around and ask if you want dessert. And their dessert menu is, like, killer. But you're so stuffed. How many times have you found yourself saying this? I can't eat another bite. And that's, like, so depressing in that moment, isn't it? Because it's like, that dessert would be so good if I had some space for it. You know what I mean? Have you ever been in that moment? And then some of you are like, oh, bring it on anyways. And then you're like, yeah, it wasn't as good as it was last time. Why? Because you were so stuffed. Because you were so stuffed. So here's what happens. Listen. We are spiritual beings. God made us that way. We have a soul, and our soul feasts on something. And when we feast our soul too deeply upon other things, it ruins our appetite for God. And we don't say this, but this is our experience, is that we're too stuffed with all these other good gifts that he's given us to enjoy him. So most of us, not all of us, but most of us, like, the greatest dangers in our life are not, like, the deep, dark sin things that maybe, like, get so easily characterized as deep, dark sins. But here's the greatest danger that most of us will face. It's stuffing our soul too deeply with God's good gifts. So we look to our spouse and we say, satisfy me. We look to our kids and we say, I'm going to just, like, you satisfy me. We look to our work and we say, satisfy me. We look to our sports and we say, satisfy me. And we delight in these good gifts. But here's every good gift. Listen, every good gift is an opportunity to pivot back to God. So we enjoy playing our sport and we get done and we pivot back to God and say, God, this is just an echo to the glory of who you are. Thank you for giving me this to enjoy this. It just speaks of how wonderful you are. And we enjoy our spouse and we immediately pivot back to God and we say, God, thank you for blessing me with such a great spouse. Like, she is wonderful and I so enjoy her, but she's just like a little echo of how great and glorious you are, Lord. And we enjoy food and we get done with a meal and we pivot back to God and we say, God, we've tasted this good meal, but Lord, this is not what we were made for. We were made for you. Man does not live by bread alone, but upon your word, dear God, your word. And we pivot back. And so the danger is when we don't pivot back, is when we get stuck in the gift. And we just keep digging into the gift and we forget the gift is just an echo of the giver. The gift is just like a puddle, and the giver is the ocean. And so why would we wade our feet in a puddle when God offers us an ocean of joy in himself? So when we're delighting in God, we have to be careful in delighting ourselves too deeply with other things. That's where fasting comes in, and it's so helpful. We just as intentionally as we can say, God, I know I'm controlled by my appetite. I know I am. And I know I get hangry. Yeah, you ever get hangry? You know what hangry is? When you're hungry and you get angry? You ever get that way? When you get hangry, that's like a little alarm of I'm controlled by my appetite, right? You don't have to get hangry. But fasting kind of exposes that. In fact, fasting exposes that we've feasted too deeply upon the gift of food and we need to feast more on God. And that exercise reminds us of that. That's the first hurdle we've got to overcome when delighting in God. The next is envy and anger toward evil people. There's a lot of evil people in the world, isn't there? There's a lot of evil things happening in our world, isn't there? There's a lot of people doing terrible things. They wake up thinking about doing terrible things. They go to bed thinking about doing terrible things. Their heart is blind. Their heart is cold. Their heart has no interest in God. They're not living out biblical values at all, right? And it's really easy. It's really easy that when we see evil people succeeding, for us to be envious of their success and for us to be angry at what they're doing. We see this. Look in verse 1. This is how this chapter opens. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Look at this, verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. That temptation is real. That temptation to be anxious about all the evil that's happening in our world, it's really easy to get all worked up over it. And to get all worked up over it, you get so worked up over it, it robs you of joy. And God wants you to be delighted in Him. It's easy to live your life seeking to execute justice and righteousness for the glory of Jesus. And to get so swept away in it that no one would describe you as delightful. Because what they're doing has robbed you of your joy. And you're fretting, and you're envious, and you're angry. So fret not yourself, verse 1, because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. For, you think, how can we do that? Like, how can I just sit by and see evil people, like, get along, happy, doing their thing, succeeding? For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. They're going down. It's a fact, and it's going to be soon. As sure as the leaves wither on the trees in the fall and fall off, that's going to happen to wicked people. It's going to happen. Look at verse 8 through 13. Refrain from anger. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. What does that mean? That means you can be working out a righteous cause in the name of Jesus and get so worked up over it because you're so determined to see it different, then you can get swept up into all kinds of evil yourself. So don't get swept up on it. Verse 9, look at this. For the evildoer shall be cut off. In other words, we should earnestly work for righteous injustice in this world. We should use our energy to fight and to work and to labor for worthy causes. But we should sleep peacefully at night because the evildoers will be cut off, and we know that. But those who wait for the Lord, verse 9 says, they shall inherit the land. So here you see, this was a psalm that the people of Israel had to preach to themselves. Because the promise was they were going to inherit the land. And as they see other nations around them succeeding in worshiping false gods, the temptation was to fret and to get all upset. No, those who wait for the Lord, they shall inherit the land. Verse 10, in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. I know it feels like it's going on forever. I know it feels like, how long will the wicked succeed in their ways? Well, verse 10 tells us, In just a little while, it'll be over. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Look at verse 12 and 13. I love this. This is amazing. Look at this. Verse 12 and 13. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. So as we fight for these causes of righteous injustice, we don't do it from an anxious place. We do it from a place of peace. We don't do it fretting because they're succeeding in their ways. We do it at complete peace Indeed, when we look at the righteous judgment of God that's coming, we can laugh. We can be so at peace that we can laugh. Friends, listen to me. An angry church will not win a community. There is nothing magnetic about an angry church. There's nothing that draws people to Christians when they're angry. And so the counsel is when we're delighting in God, be careful not to be envious and angry about the wicked. Just laugh. Their day is coming. Entrust it to the Lord. Fight for just causes. Absolutely. Give your labor for just causes. But don't let it rob you of a minute of sleep at night. Because the Lord is coming back and he will judge the living and the dead. And we can entrust it all to him. I'm not encouraging you to live a laissez-faire life. I'm not encouraging you to not care about injustice. I'm encouraging you to not be anxious, envious, and angry about it. And here's what we have an opportunity for in real life. Here's what we have an opportunity to do. Listen, we have an opportunity to be the most joyful church in the region. The most joyful church in the region. In other words, Jesus said, let your light shine. Let your light shine so that evil men may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your joy shine. And people will be like, man, what do you have? I spoke at a conference in Nashville yesterday, and a lady came up to me, and she said, you know, she said, we've been taking water to our garbage man for 2 years every week. He comes and gets the garbage, and we take him water. And she said, we did it for a year, and our neighbor finally came and said, what are you doing? What is it about you? Like, can you please explain what is compelling you to bring water to the garbage man? It's just the overflow of the joy of the Lord, the love of their community. Next, a hurdle to overcome when delighting in God is a lack of trust and commitment. Look at verse 5 and 6 with me. Chapter 34, verse 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So, many of us want the delight that God offers without committing to live the life God requires. Many of us want the joy that God promises without living in obedience to God. And we can't have that. It's not the way it works. This psalm is a whole in all of its parts. And right after delight yourself in the Lord, it's commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. So faith is a fight. So when you open your Bible, you have to understand you're in a spiritual battle. And the battle is whether or not you're opening your Bible believing that God's going to meet you. Believing that in his presence is fullness of joy. It's a fight to believe that. And sometimes even on our best day, we've got a fight to believe that God's promises are true. Indeed, friends, listen, that's the whole Christian life. The whole Christian life is a fight for faith. It's a fight to believe the promises of God in Jesus Christ are true for us. So if it feels difficult, welcome to the journey. It's not easy, but it's worth it. The fruit is worth it. So don't feel like you can just kind of, God will not be mocked. He will not be manipulated. You cannot just crack the Bible open and get zapped by a joy wand. No, you've got to come trusting his promises and committing your way to him. When people are struggling with sorrow, I often ask, is there any sin in your life that you've not repented of? Because sin always leads to death. And so maybe for you this morning, that's like an aha moment of, that's it. I've been reading my Bible, but I've been living however I want to. I've been praying to God, but I've been living however I want to. Like, I've been coming to church, but Monday through Saturday is mine. I've been doing whatever I want to. You can't experience the joy that God promises living how you want to. You have to live how he wants you to. That's pretty simple. but hard. So that's why we pray, God, help us. God, be gracious to us. God, empower us. And lastly, as our worship team comes, just the last hurdle that we've got to overcome when delighting in God is busyness and impatience. Look at verse 7. Busyness and impatience. Verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. This is what shoots some of us in the foot here. Some of us, we're not digging too deeply into God's gifts. We're not envious or angry about anything in particular. And we're living our life for God. Like, our life is consecrated before the Lord. But we're busy. And we're impatient. And when we go to spend time with God, we're thinking about every other thing that we need to do. We don't turn our phone off and we receive texts from other people. We let other people interrupt our time with God. And the invitation is, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. We don't have to wait for anything anymore, do we? We don't have to wait for anything. Farmers are like, I'm still waiting, praying and waiting. I got to wait. I got to wait for the sun. I got to wait for the rain. I know what it's like to wait. First garden I ever planted, I learned really clearly. A spiritual lesson. You've got to wait. You've got to be patient. You've got to be patient. Billy Graham once said, and we've said this before, he once said, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Look at verse 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. So here's the call. There's a fountain of joy awaiting you, and it's in the presence of God. And it's a fight to believe that he'll satisfy our soul. But what hijacks our experience of experiencing joy is that we're often too busy and too impatient to sit and allow the Lord to fill our cup. It takes a minute, you guys. It takes a minute in the presence of God for all those doubts to dissolve. It takes a minute in the presence of God for those fleshly desires to lose their power. It takes a minute gazing at the glory of God in the sacred scriptures. It takes a minute for your appetite for God to stir. So as you set out to delight in God every day, would you just give it the time that it's worthy of? Give it the time that it's worthy of. One of the things that I find most helpful is turning my phone off and going for a prayer walk with the Lord. Just getting away from everybody and everything and getting in his presence with no time restraints and just saying, Lord, this is your time. Let's go. Let's go. Church, isn't it a cool idea to think about us becoming the most joyful church in the region? God's got to do it. So let's pray. Let's ask him to do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, would you do something amazing in us? Give us an appetite for you like we don't yet have. Give us a hunger to know you like we don't yet have. Spirit of God, awaken our souls to want to find pleasure in your presence. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. Make us a joyful church, Lord. Make us a joyful church. And all God's people said, amen. Church, let's stand. Let's sing out in the presence of God. Open your mouth wide. Allow him to fill it. Allow him to satisfy your soul. In this moment, test what we're saying. Say, God, you're the fountain of living waters. Pour out over me. Pour out over me, Lord God.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something special in your heart today. We hope to see you on Sunday very soon. Keep it real. Keep it Jesus.